God bless you this evening, beloved, in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. I was just sitting here reading the word for a while here in Matthew and Peter and different places. And as I was studying through Matthew, I came across, I keep rereading this, and each time I get to chapter 7, I focus on these things because of where I'm at and what the Lord's dealing with me about as a minister. I know last year, before I share that scripture, last year God really took me to the woodshed over some areas, and I spent the end of the year in a time of seeking the Lord. And some of the things that He strongly but lovingly emphasized to me is that I should never ever seek money with ministry, and I should never ask for it. Now, of course, people do give us offerings at times, and we receive them, and I'm thankful for that. But he said, don't ever ask for money, and do not make the ministry about money. And he just started dealing with me about areas where in the past he had closed some doors, because I've always sought him and wanted his will. And I remember when I stopped pastoring, I wondered, how am I going to make a living? You know, how am I going to continue to pray and fast and preach and eat? If I go to work a full-time job, you know, that'll stop my ministry, a lot of it, stop the time I have to seek the Lord and so forth. So I started trying to figure out what to do, and I started doing some conferences, just setting up little conferences here and there. And in the conferences, I'd ask for partners. And people gave me their credit card numbers and stuff to charge monthly offerings, and I never did it. Every time I would go to charge those credit cards, I'd just feel a check and I wouldn't do it. And I couldn't understand why. And to be honest, I was really frustrated with the Lord, because I'm thinking, God, this is the way everybody does it. You know, I've got to have money. What's wrong with having partners? I mean, that's what I've seen my whole Christian life. All these big ministers, you know, partners, 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 partners. I always talk about partners. And I just knew from the Lord that I wasn't supposed to do that. And as I was seeking the Lord, I just really began to read and meditate on the Word. And I saw some things in Scripture that just shocked me. Like when Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You will love one and hate the other. You will cling to one and despise the other. It was such a black and white word from God. There's no way around it. You will either... what he literally said is, you will either hate money or you will hate God. He said you will love one and hate the other. There's no gray area. You will despise one and you will cling to the other. And he asked me, which one do you hate? Which one do you despise? Because if you don't despise earthly money and wealth, then you automatically despise and hate God. And I thought, God, that's not fair. That doesn't even make sense. And then the Holy Spirit began to speak to me about the monetary system of the world and why Jesus called it filthy and why Jesus never sought money and why he didn't even handle money. He handed the money bag to Judas. Judas Iscariot's the one that handled money for Jesus. And so as God was dealing with me about that, not asking for money, and then later, he started to deal with me about false teachers and false prophets. And I really started seeing a lot of stuff in the body of Christ, but I really didn't connect these two things, you know, money and false teachers and false prophets. I was thinking more false teaching and false prophets. He was showing me the things that they were teaching, the twist that even some had come into my own ministry, twist on the Word of God, tweaks on the Word of God. And as he showed me those things, I began to repent of any of that stuff that could possibly be in me or in my ministry. And it took a while, but I began to see some things that were in the past, that some of that stuff was creeping in. But today, as I was meditating and studying the Word of God, I got to the false prophets. Beware of false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And I looked up this word ravenous because I wanted to know what it meant. And I've got a little app thing that will tell me everywhere that Greek word is in the entire Bible, New Testament, because New Testament's Greek. So it's only in the Bible five times. And what's interesting is the other four times it's translated extortionist. And the word extortionist is a person who gets your money through threats. They make you feel afraid to get your money. And the Lord began to show me how the modern church, how so many preachers, and this is a modern concept, it's not something they did years ago, so many preachers will threaten people constantly with Malachi chapter 3. Now, if you go read Malachi chapter 3, it's all about the coming of Jesus Christ. Start in verse 1. It's about the coming of Jesus Christ, who will refine us with a refiner's fire, who will cleanse us with a launderer's soap, so that we can give to God in true righteousness. And then he rebukes the Israelites for not bringing a tenth of their harvest and feeding the poor and feeding the ministers, those who had crops. Those are the only ones who brought a tenth to the temples, or to the temple, to be able to feed the priest and to feed the poor. And he was rebuking them for that. But what's interesting is Malachi is the last book of the Old Covenant. And right after that, there were 400 years of silence where God did not speak. So the last thing that he did is he rebuked the people for not giving in true righteousness. And he talked about the coming of Jesus Christ, who would wash us and purify us so that we could give in true righteousness. We could feed the ministers and we could feed the poor, which is what it's about. And now preachers are using that because they are covetous. They want to gain wealth. And they see it as a means to financial gain. If they can threaten the church with curse, if they can make people afraid and push them to give 10% of all their money to the church. And somebody may say, "Brother, you don't believe in tithing?" Listen, I've never, ever not tithed. And I believe in much more than tithing. And that's not a cop out. I truly believe the body of Christ is not anywhere close to where it's supposed to be. And if we're truly walking in the life of Jesus, we'll look like the church did in Acts. Nobody gave 10% of anything. They all gave their all. Anyone who had need, and the giving was always the same thing. The giving was to provide food for those who preached the true gospel and to provide for the poor. It was always the same thing. They would bring their money, anything they had extra, not 10%, they'd bring anything they had extra. And they would lay it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles would distribute it to anyone in the congregation who had need. It was all about meeting the needs of the saints so that not one person was wealthy while other people in the church were poor. That's, if you'll go study it, that's exactly what the tithing was about. And that's in the Old Covenant. It was about feeding the ministers and feeding the poor. And in the New Covenant, we see much greater than 10%. We see everybody giving their all. And it was beautiful. But when you look at this, what is a false prophet? He will come to, I even thought, you know them by their fruit. And I thought, well, you know, that means their attitude, because I'm thinking of the fruit of the Spirit. But Satan always disguises himself as an angel of light. It's not by mannerisms that you know a false prophet. It's by what they produce. It's by what their disciples are. If someone really follows them, what do they become? That's how you know a false teacher, a false prophet. And a false teacher comes in sheep's clothing. They come as a Christian, but they're desiring wealth, they're desiring personal gain, and they're trying to use the people they're ministering to get to a place of more financial freedom and more financial gain for themselves. And when you turn to these other scriptures, like in Peter, where he talks about false teachers, and Peter, I mean, he makes it even more clear. He said, because of their covetousness, because they want more stuff, they will make merchandise of you. What does that mean? It means that teachers will come who want things of the world, and they'll use the body of Christ, they'll use believers to gain that for themselves. And it said, because of these kinds of people, the way will be spoken evil of. Christianity, the way, back then wasn't called Christianity, it's called believers, the way. The way will be spoken evil of and will be blasphemed among the heathen. because of these false teachers. And today's world that we live in, how does the world view the church? They say it's all about money. And they look at these people on TV looking for partners and looking for offerings and looking to get wealthy off the ministry. And so the way is blasphemed among the world. And that's exactly what God said would happen. This is in the beginning of the church, before we had TV, before we had all these people, threatening people with Malachi chapter 3, which you never see anything like that ever in the New Testament, not even close to that. But and then we get to another scripture in Timothy where he talks about these false people in the body of Christ. And he says they think that godliness is a means to gain. They think gain is godliness. And so they preach that if you're godly and you serve God, you'll gain. You'll always gain. And he rebukes them in Timothy and he says, listen, if we're really godly, we should be content if we have food and clothing. We brought nothing into this world. We were taking nothing out of this world. And if you look at the prophets and the apostles in the New Covenant, none of them preached gaining wealth. None of them. As a matter of fact, all of them gave up most everything they had and went into the ministry and preached the gospel. Many of them suffered, but God always took care of them. And Jesus said, listen, do not seek gain. Do not seek personal gain and personal security. Don't seek what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear, and don't doubt, but seek the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And that's what God began to really deal with me about. He said, do not ever ask anybody for money for ministry. Never sell the word of God. I've seen other ministers now who are always preaching against the prosperity movement. And then you go on their website and they sell every sermon. They want to sell you a sermon against the prosperity preacher. It's amazing. God told me never, ever, ever charge for the word of God. Don't do it. Never charge for a sermon. Never charge to share the word of God. Never manipulate people. Never ask for money. And I said, then God, how in the world am I supposed to eat? How in the world am I supposed to survive if most of my time is spent, preaching? And because, all these false preachers are getting the money. They're not going to give it to you if you don't threaten them and you don't ask them for it. And God said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's what the Apostle Paul did. There were churches that helped him. He said, I robbed from this church to help you. He wasn't saying he robbed, but he was explaining, hey, this church helped me in the ministry here. But he made tents. He did whatever he could so that he didn't have to ask people for money for himself. He never took up offerings for himself. You'll never see him asking money for himself. He did take up an offering for the church in Jerusalem, but he never sought money for himself. And the way that we do things today, friend, most of our churches and our buildings, they never built buildings. In the book of Acts, they never built a single building. There was never a single building program. Nobody was trying to build their little kingdoms all over the world. They were preaching from house to house, having church from house to house, ministering in the public square, and they were growing exponentially as people were getting saved and meeting in their homes and truly loving one another and truly giving up their lives for one another. And today the church has turned into a business. It's turned into a money-making corporation where people want to build bigger and bigger and bigger and have bigger buildings and more programs and more fancy stuff. And they want the TV program and the pastor's making this big sound. And it's, friend, the world is laughing at us. The world is mocking us. And we have no power. None of these preachers can really cast out devils. They can't. Why? Because they're full of devils themselves and they don't realize it. They think that they're real. A false prophet, most of the time, he doesn't know he's a false prophet. Now, some of them do. And I'm not even going to get into details, but I've talked with some people, and many of them begin to realize that they're not real. They're not preaching the gospel, and they don't know how to change, and they don't know any other way to live, and they don't know any other way to do things except to try to get money. And so they don't know how to change, and they keep pressing forward. And it's really, really sad. But meditate on these scriptures. And by the grace of God, man, I'm believing. I believe without a doubt Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The gates of hell will not prevail. Jesus will build his church. But friend, the reason I'm sharing this is because I'm meditating on it and the Lord's speaking to me about it tonight. But one of the main reasons I'm sharing this is because God is going to send his angels into the body of Christ, and they are going to pluck out everything, every person that causes stumbling. And so we have to be very cautious. I thought I was as sincere as anybody could ever be. I began my life with God, praying and fasting, reading the word all of the time. But eventually I got to pastoring churches and I was pushing tithe. And the reason I pushed tithe is because I wanted to build the church. I wanted it to be better than the one next door. I wanted it to have a good name. I wanted it to be strong. I even had TV ministry and stuff, and there was nothing wrong with TV ministry, but I had a dream that all of this would cause me to gain. It would all cause us to go up and up and up. I was even deceived into thinking that if I was truly godly, I would always be gaining ground. I would never lose ground. I would always be gaining ground. And I called it going from glory to glory, and it was a lie from the pit of Satan. And I've got a beautiful message on going from glory to glory. If you haven't heard it and you want to hear it, I can send it to you. Amazing. It's talking about entering more and more into the authority of the right-hand seat where God has seated us, to walk in the true stature of Jesus Christ and to be able to do what Jesus did. If we suffer with him, we shall be glorified with him. And so, beloved, I am praying, and I want you to pray with me in Jesus' name for the true sons of God to arise. And friend, I can assure you, if a man is a man of God, if a woman is a woman of God, and they are submitted to God, and they are humble before God, and they're listening to him, they are not going to be talking about money. They're not going to be focusing on money. They're not going to be looking for money. So we have to be very, very cautious. Jesus, if we people keep talking about Abraham, 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 why? Because they don't want to be like Jesus. Abraham is not our model. Jesus is our model. We are the seed of Abraham. That's in Galatians. Jesus has said that the promise wasn't to the seeds, it was to the seed, speaking of Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are the seed because we are in Jesus Christ. The earthly promises to Abraham were pictures of heavenly promises to the new covenant believers. Jesus spoke to people all the time, sell what you've got, give the money to the poor. Jesus spoke to, and that's exactly what they did in the book of Acts. They didn't sell stuff and live on the street, but they took any extra stuff they had and they sold it. And they used it to help genuine believers who were genuinely born again and genuinely submitted to God and doing what God said to do, but they were poor. They didn't even have substantial food. And so the other people in the church refused to allow that to happen. And the Bible said none of them had too much and none of them had too little because they all loved one another and gave themselves fully to one another. Nobody gave 10% of nothing. And God asked me one day because I was so big on, I even lost friends. I had deacons that I kicked off my board because they wouldn't tithe. And I lost them, some of the best friends I ever had. It hurt me more than anything else. And I thought, but I'm doing God's will. And then the Lord asked me about a year or two ago. He shocked me. I was studying Acts. He said, "Have you ever seen a tither who does not consider his possessions or her possessions as their own?" He said, "Have you ever seen a tither who does not consider their possessions as their own?" And I just was dumbfounded. And I said, "No." And then I looked in the book of Acts, and the ones who truly believed in Jesus did not consider their possessions as their own. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, "People tithe to gain more for themselves, not because they're giving themselves up." That's why they want to hold on to that. They want to go back. They want to say we're not under the law, but they always want to go back to that one thing and call it a principle instead of a law. Listen, if you'll really study the principle of giving, there's only one place in the whole Old Covenant where a person gave 10% of their money to God for and it doesn't even say if they really did it, but he promised he would do it. And that was when Jacob was running from Esau and he was terrified and out of fear, he said, "God, if you'll protect me, from now on, I'll give you 10% of everything I ever get." And all the other things, like for example, in the very beginning, Cain and Abel. You know, Abel gave the first and the best. He didn't give a percentage. He gave his first and his best because he trusted in God. When you deal with Abraham, who went and got Lot back in that war, and he gave a tenth of the spoils. They weren't even his. Those spoils were from Sodom. He didn't want the king of Sodom to say that he had made Abraham rich. Abraham did not give his belongings to Melchizedek. He gave a tenth of the spoils of a war, and those spoils weren't even his. They belonged to the king of Sodom. And so listen, I love principles. I love giving 10%. I mean, my wife and I, for years, we gave 50% of everything that came in our business, and we still weren't righteous. I'm not saying I was righteous for doing that, but I love standards. I love principles. But if you want to live by a principle, friend, look in the New Testament. If you want to live by a principle, it's time to give your all. It's not time to give 10% so you can get more for yourself. It's time to give our all. And I continue to do 10%, and I do more than that. Not only for because I love principles, but for other people's conscience as well, because many people don't understand the difference. So we've got to be very careful what we're believing and who we're following, because in these last days, friend, it's a dark, dark hour. And most people who are supposedly teachers of the Word of God, they don't even know Him. There's no true spirituality in their life, but they know the vernacular. They know how to say things. They have good mannerisms. They're nice people. And it's very, very, very deceiving. So we've got to go after God in these last days. For the Bible said, many false prophets, many will arise. And then he said, they come to you as sheep in sheep's clothing, but inwardly, they are extortionists. They are wolves. They will use fear and they will threaten you to get you to give them your money. And man, that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And you start studying the scriptures, you're like, oh my Lord. Some of my favorite preachers, man, it's all about partnerships. Many of them are millionaires. You know, they don't get their money and help the poor. You know, I mean, they have different ministry outreaches that make them look good, just like Bill Gates does or whoever. You know, they give some of their money. There's all kinds of tax breaks and stuff, but most of them, friend, they're not giving up themselves. They don't hate money, they love money. Jesus said, you can't serve two masters. You will hate one and you will love the other. That's all there is to it. If I believe what he said, then I know my life is corrupt because my life loves wealth. That's why I had to die, friend. I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. I'm saying we've got to walk with Jesus or we'll be focused on the wrong thing. We've got to walk with the Lord or we will focus on the wrong thing. So may God bring us into his presence, into his true righteousness, and may we truly serve the Lord and with Jesus Christ despise earthly things, even though as we seek his kingdom, he will meet our needs. He will take care of us. It's not a matter of being poor, living on the street. It's a matter of what we're focusing on, friend. If we're truly focusing on the kingdom of God, the stuff of this world will become less and less and less attractive. We won't want it. We'll want the kingdom. And if we do have extra stuff, if we're truly walking with God, we'll help genuine believers who are serving the Lord in faithfulness. Anytime we have a chance, we'll help them and do everything we can for them. So be careful these days and keep your eyes on the Lord and get in the Word of God and don't be deceived. Don't be sucked into all this godliness as a means to financial gain nonsense. That is not biblical. It's not right. And everybody who teaches it has to go back to the Old Covenant and use Old Covenant principles to teach it. The Old Covenant was a picture of what was to come. It was not the real thing. This is not when Jesus says, if you give up anything for me, you'll gain 100 times as much. He even said, what he said, moms, dads, how are you going to get 100 moms? How are you going to get 100 dads? What he's saying is when you give up your independent life that every human being is living, every human being in this world's building their own independent life, building their own wealth, building their own little kingdom. When you give that up and you begin to pursue God, you'll go from having one mom to having 100 moms. You'll go from having one house to having 100 houses. Why? Because the body of Christ, friend, the body of Christ, they have everything in common and they love one another. And it's not about our individual stuff. So Jesus is saying, if you'll give up your Adamic independence, you'll begin to find true riches in the body of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the true riches. And when we get to the kingdom, friend, if we turn away from the stuff of this world, we're storing up wealth. where moth and rust do not corrupt. Oh, glory to God in Jesus' name. God bless you tonight. Amen.